Evolutionary biologists at Michigan State University have determined that a spouse in the hand is better than one that might be more suitable down the road. Current State's Melissa Benmark joins us now with a look at the research. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Mark. Well, just in time for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, real encouraging there.
The timing was interesting. The findings indicate that, quote, Mr. Right Now, i.e. a pretty darn good spouse, could be more advantageous biologically than Mr. Fantastic later on when it comes to passing along our genetic legacy. Hmm. Now, it's important to understand that, though, that this is really more about risk-taking as a species than it is about relationship advice. So to get some clarity on this, I talked to Chris Adame, who's a professor of microbiology and molecular genetics and physics at MSU. He's a co-author of the study and told me the basic premise.
This study really was a study about understanding why people, and in fact, actually also quite a number of animals, are risk-averse. In other words, they shy away from making an investment in very risky decisions, even though the payoff would be sort of worth it. So, the economics literature has known this for quite a while, that if you propose a gamble to a person to either have, let's say, $100,000 with certainty or possibly $10 million, but, you know, with a chance of 10%, they will take the $100,000, even though, you know, the average payoff of the, you know, of 10% chance of getting $10 million is 10 times higher. So they don't like to actually take the risky decision. And we try to understand where that came from. And we did a study of understanding how these type of decisions evolve when you would follow, populations adapting to their environment. Okay, so basically they're being faced with having to make these decisions, and it turns out that those that make the safe bet will actually survive more often than those that do the risky bets because of the fact that they were in small populations. Now, having said this, we figured, well, so how can we actually understand this in more common terms? You know, why would this happen? And the answer here is that if you make these risky decisions when it comes to, you know, for example, choosing a mate, if in fact you think that perhaps you can wait for a mate that will give you very strong, you know, and many offspring, you might wait for a long time and not get this high payoff. So it would actually be safer from an evolutionary point of view to settle for the safe bet, which in this case would be to get at least one offspring. So it is an evolutionary argument where if you don't settle for the safe bet, in other words, getting at least one offspring, you might not actually leave any of your genes in the future.
Just the very nature of your findings, I'm sure, has inspired a lot of conversation about relationships and marriage and childbearing and that kind of thing. What's gotten back to you on this?
Well, so of course, you know, as we use this as the example of, understanding risk-averse behavior, you know, a lot of the comments where it's like, well, you know, like times are different now, right? I mean, we live in a society where perhaps, you know, it is not so important, you know, to make these type of decisions, or, you know, we can actually wait longer. But, you know, the argument that we're making isn't about decisions now. It is why our brain is hardwired to take safe bets. So it is not, in a sense, relationship advice that we're giving here. We're basically saying, why is it that, you know, humans are genetically wired to take the sure bet? So in other words, it's an aversion to high stakes gambling, really, that we're talking about. And simply because, you know, of these evolutionary pressures that people have faced, you know, tens of thousands of years ago, our brain shies away from, you know, betting high stakes. And that's really the only argument that we're making here. And it has something to do with the fact that if you're betting or have been betting in the past, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago, to wait, you know, to mate, you probably didn't leave any of these genes, to the future generations. And as a consequence, today our brains are hardwired to go for the safe bet. And that means not just in mating, but in fact also for high-stakes gambling. But it does not actually mean that, you know, we're giving relationship advice here. I mean, this is really just trying to understand where this behavior comes from.
Right. But I guess then that kind of begs the question, if we're hardwired to make safe decisions, why do we make unsafe ones in love or otherwise?
Well, that's actually a good question. And so it turns out that when we did this study, you know, it is not like every single agent in the population has the same risk aversion, okay? So what we're saying is that on average, those that make safe bets have a higher probability of surviving. But in fact, it turns out that you have a distribution. So among the groups that we're evolving, there are also some individuals that actually, you know, take very risky bets. So, you know, on average, people have evolved to be risk averse, but it doesn't mean that everybody is the same. Indeed, it's typical of evolutionary studies that you will see a diversity of all kinds of behaviors emerging. And the only statement that we can really make is that on average, humans, you know, are risk averse, but it doesn't mean that there aren't some outliers that actually are extremely risky. Now, of course, you know, as I said, some of these strategies will indeed survive, but on average, they don't.
So I have to ask, just on a personal level, I mean, do you have any colleagues who perhaps are not married at this point who, you know, have run into you in the hall? And even though, as you said, you're not giving relationship advice, you know, said, gee, thanks a lot. That was a really pessimistic thing to come out at Valentine's Day.
It's actually, you know, like, you know, my coworkers have explained this paper, of course, to their spouses, and they go like, oh, really? So now you're telling me that you have settled when you married me, right?
I wondered about that, actually.
So in other words, it's good, you know, to talk about other people, but when you talk about your own spouse, you might get a little bit into hot water. But I mean, this is all in jest, of course.
From what you found in this study, what do you think kind of your next area of investigation will be? Are you still going to be looking at risk averseness? I mean, what does this suggest to you in terms of what you want to pursue and further research?
Well, actually, in my lab and with my co-authors, you know, we're investigating all kinds of different decisions that humans might make. So it turns out, you know, even though we're studying this in a very simple setting of, you know, what is known as game theory, you know, where you know looking at strategies that, you know, given a certain amount of investment, you know, is possibly reaps certain benefits. But you can actually, from an evolutionary point of view, understand a lot of, you know, how human decisions actually operate and where they come from. So, of course, it's always a nature versus nurture debate, and we're trying to figure out, you know, in which way are human decisions hardwired or have a bias into a particular direction, and in which way is it something that is a reaction to the current environment. And it is astonishing how much evolution and the evolutionary pressures that we have encountered in the past actually shape certain biases in our decision making. So, you know, we are also interested in understanding the evolution of cooperation. Why do animals and humans, of course, cooperate, and how does communication come into it? So obviously we will not cooperate with anybody if we don't sort of reach an understanding that we're not going to defect, you know, against each other. So we are trying to understand how communication is conducive for cooperation, for example.
And that's interesting, because then that can also get into risk averseness. You know, someone who communicates a positive message and then ends up.
That's right. So one of the things is, imagine this situation that I just talked about, where you know, everybody has a 10% chance to win 10 million. How do you actually encourage everybody to actually engage in that risk? And the answer is, suppose everybody agreed that they would share the money, okay? If they would all share the money, then in fact, it is much better for everybody to actually engage in that risk, because, you know, they will take the 10 million and then share it with everybody. So that means on average, everybody would be richer. So this idea that it is not good to engage in this risky behavior because you might fail and then not leave any offspring, or, you know, not have the means to support a family, you know, that is negated the moment where a group of players says, you know what, let's all engage this in this very risky bet, because if it doesn't come true for you, you know, you can share in the payoff that somebody else got. So here again, risk aversion, just like you said, you know, might be turned into risky gambling if, in fact, the community would agree, via communication, of course, to share the risk and therefore also share the benefit.
And hence, ancient insurance was born.
Well, that would indeed be the way that you could circumvent that. But, of course, you know, we still don't do it today. You know, even though all kinds of people engage in playing the lottery, You know, there is no agreement to share the winnings. But playing a lottery is not like the situation that we investigated in this paper, because this is not high-stakes gambling. In other words, you know, if you lose your dollar, you lose the $5, you know, this does not affect your future. But if you would say, well, you know, I'm going to play this, but I might lose my house, well, then people will not engage in that. Even, you know, if the possible payoff is the $100 million. But again, in the lotteries, the probabilities are such that, in fact, the rational decision is not to play.
Chris Adami, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on the study.
Thank you, Melissa. It was a pleasure.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.